Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
Good morning and welcome. Friday the 15th of May. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top at 23 in the city of Sydney, about the same out west. It'll be 21 in Brisbane. We'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. Clarification there. I said 23. No, 20. It'll be 20 the other way around. 20 in Sydney, the maximum, and 23 in Brisbane. No matter where you are, the number's the same. 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au, and you can process information and access information from the program by going to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Well, Bill Shorten is still Besser Bill, as he still blocks everything. But he could also be described as blank check Bill, because in the budget reply speech, it was spend, spend and a bit more spending, and no word on who's going to pay for it. He wants small business to get a 5% tax cut, but no word on how it's funded. In fact, he said it'd cost $2 billion. They say it's closer to the opposition's claim, the government of $4 billion. And either way, $2 or $4 billion, no funding either way. Now, Lee Sales on the ABC last night questioned Besser Bill, blank check Bill, over the National Disability Scheme of the former Labor government, and asked if he intended to run with that if they were to be in government. He said, yes, of course. She asked, how do you pay for the tens of billions of dollars required? He said, lift the Medicare levy. Lee Sales says it would have to go to 5.5% to even go close. He quickly moved on to another matter. So it's spend, spend and spend. Now, I just looked at Vision on Sky News this morning and on Channel 9. Can someone tell me where the renter crowd in the gallery came from last night? They gave this bloke a standing ovation as if he just discovered a cure for a terminal illness. There he was, and you expect the shadow ministry to stand up and the backbenchers to stand up, but they had a broad shot there of the gallery and they're all standing up and clapping and cheering as if he just discovered how we get rid of that $250 billion debt that the former government left us with. It wasn't a great day for the government either. They moved, as you know, to stop families double dipping with paid parental leave being paid by the employer, then accessing a smaller amount from a government fund, taxpayer money. Lo and behold, two ministers and their wives, who had children recently, both the wives are lawyers, access paid parental leave from the law firm they work for, then they got it as well from the government. Now, the two ministers involved are not lowly ministers. One's the finance minister, one I think is the assistant treasurer. Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg. Now, I feel a bit sorry for Scott Morrison and Joe Hockey here, so they're all sitting around the cabinet table discussing budget, and this was one of the platforms. We're going to get rid of this double dipping. And Joe Hockey called it a fraud when interviewed on Channel 9 by Laurie Oakes. Scott Morrison here called it a rort and double dipping, which, well, it's legal. Nothing illegal about it, but it is double dipping. It's legal double dipping. Do you think Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg might have just scratched their heads and thought, listen, boys, we agree with the policy, but go a bit light on your condemnation of people doing it, because guess what we did? And I wonder how many people from the other side of politics or the crossbenchers whose wives have had baby over the last 2 or 3 years have also double dipped legally. Nothing wrong with it. But I think, given the stupidity of all this and how silly it makes Scott Morrison and Joe Hockey look, that Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg should return the money from the taxpayers immediately. It's not a massive amount of money. Yes, they are legally entitled to it, but it's a dreadful look. I mean, the Prime Minister was asked about it this morning by Alan Jones and he sidestepped it nicely, but he must be seething that these blokes sat there in silence when they were talking about it and didn't offer any opinions on it, the fact that they've accessed it. Just can't believe it. Anyway, I think they should give it back. It's just a token of their stupidity more than anything else. They've done nothing illegal. No one's done anything illegal, but it is double dipping. It wasn't intended for that. Look, I've been getting a number of emails from Bathurst in recent times. We broadcast through 2BS, and it's on the front page of the paper about this poor little fella, Braden. A deadly brain tumour the size of a golf ball has transformed Braden and his life into a devastating $80,000 race against time. His parents have just weeks to raise the amount for the star neurosurgeon Charlie Teo's life-saving procedure. It can't be done in a public hospital for some reason. I don't know the reason. It has to be done in a private hospital, as I understand it. And even if they're able to do it, there's no guarantee the little boy's life will be saved. I think I read this morning and heard this morning that they're talking 50-50. That it's 50-50 for the poor little fella to survive all of this, poor little Braden. And there's a beautiful photo of him sleeping, I suspect, in his father's arms. And they're looking for strangers, I guess Australia-wide, to offer some sort of hope here for the poor little fella. There's a web... They've only got 9,000 so far. That means they need another 71,000. GoFundMe.com. And then a series of numbers will... It's in the Telegraph. It's on their website as well. But, you know, it was your child and the poor little darling boy. There he is, just a beautiful little fella. Absolutely beautiful. Little four-year-old from Bathurst. And I guess if any of us can do anything to save a four-year-old's life, we would, even if it is 10-90 as opposed to 50-50 and all the rest of it. But I just feel so sorry for his parents. They're of limited means and they're trying to do the best they can. And the editorial says, please take a moment to visit the GoFundMe website where you possibly could assist little four-year-old Braden. It's a race against time. If you have the chance, please help Braden with it. And I know 2BS have been sending me emails about it as well. We had intended to talk about it, but thankfully Paul Whittaker's put it on the front page of his paper, so it goes out to a massive New South Wales audience as well, and now we send it Australia-wide via this program. Speaking of tragedies, Sean's phoned to tell me someone's been hit by a garbage truck on Hoxton Park Road westbound near Hill Road at Lurnea. At Lurnea, not Lumia, but Lurnea, out past Liverpool. So someone hit by a garbage truck on Hoxton Park Road westbound near Hill Road. We've spoken to the ambulance service. They've been called to the scene in the last 15 minutes. A man aged 30, around 30 they're saying, on a motorbike has been hit by that garbage truck. A man on a motorbike hit by the garbage truck. No details on his condition just yet. And also another tragedy, this time at Beenleigh, south of Brisbane. A little two-year-old fella has lost his life. His mum saved four of her other children. Her husband was returning from collecting their oldest child from school yesterday afternoon and had to be held back from going back into the fire-ravaged home to try and save his little boy who was out the back. Another terrible story. Absolutely dreadful. Pictures on TV this morning of the grieving parents coming to terms or trying to come to terms with what they confront. The Ombudsman in New South Wales. Now, I've said before and I'll say it again, we've got too many people investigating too many people. We've got the ICAC, we've got the Crime Commission, we've got professional standards, we've got the Ombudsman, we've got the PIC, the Police Integrity Union, Commission rather. And today, Mark Morrie and Andrew Clennell tell me the Ombudsman's report into police bugging scandal, which was part of our life in New South Wales for the last decade or more, Operation Prospect, which was put in train by the former Premier Barry O'Farrell 3 years ago to look into the bugging of more than 100 police officers, including the Deputy Commissioner Nick Caldas, who was targeted. There has been an up-house inquiry into this with David Shoebridge, and I'll try to talk to David about this nonsense. Now, I've said a number of times that the day or the day after this was announced by the Premier, I phoned the Ombudsman, Mr. Barber, and he took my call in front of witnesses, because I can't be seen to be ringing him privately, apparently. And I asked him a simple question, because I thought this was a very important operation, Operation Prospect. I said, do you have the resources, Mr. Barber, to conduct this? And if you don't, I'll be talking about it on radio to make sure you do have the resources, because it's a very important inquiry. It was due to be handed down in June of this year. Now, they've asked the Premier for a 12-month extension. It's the second extension sought by Mr Barber. Now, the New South Wales Police Association have joined in here through Scott Webber in New South Wales. He said it appears this inquiry may have been beyond the Ombudsman's capabilities, and that's why we're calling for just one oversight body into the police force and not the ad hoc process we have at the moment. Now, Greens MP David Shoebridge, who was in the Uphouse inquiry, was just as scathing, saying, and this is a very important point, it's taken longer than the Wood Royal Commission into the entire police force. The Ombudsman's terms of office expires at the end of June. The continuing failure to deliver his report is effectively forcing the Premier to keep extending his term. I'll talk to David Shoebridge if he's available. Might be a bit difficult, but we'll try to talk to him as well. There's a wonderful headline on the front page of the Courier Mail about Johnny Depp's dogs. War on terriers. They've got until tomorrow to get the dogs out of the place. I'm watching a headline on Sky News that says radio presenter Kyle Sandilands has attacked Barnaby Joyce. With all due respect to Kyle, he might be fighting out of his weight division, taking on Barnaby. I'm talking figuratively, not literally, of course. And finally, an admission today from the New South Wales government over the Carl Expressway fiasco on Wednesday. Finally, admission. We've been trying to get them to admit that they stuffed up. We couldn't get them to admit that. But finally today, the Telegraph got them to admit that it shouldn't have happened. Duncan Gay came on this program the day before this fiasco and said, look, I didn't know about it, but, you know, it's going to be great economic benefit to all this claptrap that he doesn't normally go on with and all the other stuff. But Alicia Wood writes today, mad dunks road fury. And the Transport Minister, Andrew Constance, is equally concerned and says in future we need to know about that. It's like you can't close down a city of 5 million people to accommodate the premiere of a movie, no matter how good the movie might be. Mr. Gay is now forcing government departments to run a logic check on such closures by his office. I've heard the community's concerns, and it'll be standard process for Transport New South Wales to sign off these kind of events going forward. Well, he wasn't saying that to me on Tuesday. I alerted him the day before it happened and said there'll be carnage on the roads. And we've had, you know, dislocation, people trying to get to the airport, couldn't get to the airport. Taxis, you know, cab fares three times what they normally are for people trying to get into town. It's just ridiculous. And it's taken 3 days to wake up to the fact that they shouldn't have done what they've done. Now, I've got to ask a question about this mob, Hizbut Tahrir, and why they are not banned. They've banned in many other places across the world, but for some reason they're not banned in Australia. Now, I've been banging on about this since John Howard's days, about why this organisation should be banned. And when you hear the story about them appearing at a University of Western Sydney campus recently, you probably ask the same question. Ian Walker says, women were segregated and asked to sit at the back of a controversial talk by extremist group Hizbut Tahrir at a Muslim students group at the University of Sydney, Western Sydney, last night. The event in Parramatta, men and women were asked to sit apart. The Daily Telegraph attended the lecture, and this reporter, a male, sat with the women before being politely told, brothers to the front, sisters to the back. The women were ushered through a door marked sisters at the rear of the hall while the brothers entered through the front door and were told to take their place in the front five rows. Tahir Khan, 23, from Campbelltown, said the room was divided for cultural reasons. I think it's the respectful way because whenever we pray separately, Mr. Khan said. No, let me tell the University of Western Sydney about living in this country. Women don't get put down the back anymore, and men don't go down the front. Women sit where they like, not where you directed them to sit. And can someone tell me how the university's Muslim Students Association can book the venue and have this organisation, the extremist group, Hizbut Tahrir, and can someone ask the Prime Minister, and I might do it myself if I get the time, why this mob haven't been banned, given we're in the grip of a terrorism threat? The lunatics who address these young people don't have any right to gather and talk to people given their extremist views. The keynote speakers, Wassim Durahai and Muhammad Hoblis, wouldn't answer questions from the Daily Telegraph. In his talk, Durahide said social problems facing Muslims were the result of Western ideology. Next time we come across brothers or sisters battling addiction who are constantly harassed by police, who are held up at airport, and sisters who are victims of domestic violence, understand the problems are systemic in nature. And can someone at a learning place, a place of learning in Western Sydney, explain to me how women are treated, whether they're accepting of it or not, it's an entirely different matter, where they go through the back door and blokes come through the front door. This is Australia. This is Sydney 2015. We're not back in some prehistoric place. And the sooner the federal government bars this place, the better for everyone. Absolutely everyone. Sport, and there's a stack of sport about today, starting with the NRL. Women in League Round. Canterbury take on the Roosters. David Murray, the continuous call team tonight at ANZ. And Billy McGee will update the scores from North Queensland and Brisbane. That's the game live into Queensland tonight on the Nine Network. Tomorrow, the continuous call team on deck for the second leg of the final farewell tour from Dural Tyre Power, one of our long-term sponsors. They've been with us for 20 years. There'll be updates on the Parramatta New Zealand game from 3 o'clock, then a full call of Gold Coast Cronulla at 5:30 in Melbourne and the South Sydney Rabbos at 7:30. On Sunday, the boys, St George Illawarra Canberra, for the Women in League Round that comes up from Wynn Stadium at the Gong. And their Women in League Round acknowledgement of the from Harvey Norman, one of the sponsors, the number of women enjoying the game, headed up by the Gillaroos. And by the way, they'll feature in free-to-air TV in Brisbane. That'll be broadcast on Gem in Brisbane on Sunday, I'm told, May 17. They'll see a replay of the Trans-Tasman clash between the two women's side, I think, on Gem on Sunday morning. Now, there'll be a tribute tonight at the game between Canterbury and the Roosters after the tragic death of a young man playing for the Lower Clarence Magpies. Zane Purcell collapsed. There'll be a minute silence tonight for that. A-League Grand Final Sunday at 4 o'clock in Melbourne. Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC. AFL Round 7. Carlton hosts the GWS Giants at Etihad Stadium. That's tomorrow. Sydney Swans host the Geelong Cats. Tomorrow, 7:20 ANZ. Brisbane Lions at the Gabba up against Port Adelaide. And that's on the Sunday as well at 4:40 in the afternoon. 4:40 in the afternoon. And the Gold Coast Suns travel to West Coast, 7:40 Saturday night. Super 15, round 14, I'd say to be. Yeah, the Reds at home to the Rebels. That's tonight at 7:40 for all you rugby union fans in Brisbane. The Waratahs at Allianz. That's against the Sharks. That's tomorrow, Saturday night. And the Brumbies are away to the Lions. The Brumbies away to the Alliance. Now the Crusaders, the Stormers, the Western Force all have a bye. So plenty for us to talk about, plenty for you to talk about. 131873 is that open line number. You can email me, 2gb.com, rayhadley.com or 4bc.com.au and get podcasts, videos and program content by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Couple of golf tournaments I should have got to. Look, the secondary tour. The secondary tour in the US, Rod Pampling, who's just gone back to it momentarily, has had a 63 in the opening round of an event, I think in South Carolina. He leads the way. Aaron Price isn't too far off the lead. He shot a 65. Alastair Presnell, another Australian, a 66. Bronson Lacassie, a 66 as well. So Australians are doing very well when it came to that golf. Now, there's a PGA tournament as well being played in concert with that one, the secondary tour. Wells Fargo, this one. Robert Streb leading the way after a 65. And Matt Jones looks to be the best placed of the Australians with a 69. I think I heard that Adam Scott had a 71. Jeff Ogilvie, a 69 as well. Cameron Percy had a 70. And it looks like he's six off the lead, Adam Scott. He's not on that first page. In the meantime, it's 24 minutes past nine.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Lanier, a smash Hoxton Park Road at Webster Road. Now the road is closed westbound with traffic directed onto Webster Road. The M4 still a bit busy through Parramatta down to James Roos Drive. At North Mead, a smash on Windsor Road just near Ventura Road. The M1, the Pacific Motorway, debris on the Mooney Creek Bridge. That's northbound. Also a breakdown southbound on the M1 at Brooklyn. West of Yetholm, roadworks on Great Western Highway. Also roadworks through Kelso on the Great Western Highway today. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Here's another reason to shop at Coles Express. 53-gram Mars bars, Pepsi cans or Coles 600ml spring water, all just $1 each. See in-store for terms and conditions.
As I said, possible shower, 20 degrees in Sydney today, 20 across the listening area in the western suburbs as well. Penrith, 20, Liverpool, Parramatta, Campbelltown, Bondi, 20. 23 and sunny. Now, the weather for the weekend, a shower or two, with a maximum of 23 in Brisbane tomorrow. Shower or two Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. For Sydney, shower or two tomorrow, maximum 20. Same for Sunday, possible shower. Same for Monday, same for Tuesday. So both centres, the weather pretty much the same for both centres. And the temperature away from Brisbane, Brisbane Airport 22, Chermside 23, Logan 23, Ipswich 23, Mount Gravatt 22 and Redcliffe 22. Canberra, a bit warmer, mostly sunny and 18 degrees. So that cold snap from yesterday has disappeared. Still cool, but not as cold as it was. Port Macquarie, shower or two, becoming windy in 21. Kempsey, possible showers, 21. Possible late shower for Coffs in 21. Wagga Wagga, early fog patches, then sunny, 18. Griffith, partly cloudy, 19. Goulburn, morning frost, sunny, 16. Cooma, early fog, partly cloudy, 14. Jindabyne, light morning frost, 13. Orange, light morning frost, sunny, 15. Bathurst, morning frost and fog, 17. Lithgow, sunny and 14. Barrel, mostly sunny, 15. I mentioned Canberra, Mildura partly cloudy and 18 degrees. Now, it looks like there's no rain. Maybe Hervey Bay would be the only place can expect some rain today in Queensland. 23 there, partly cloudy, Maryborough 23. Townsville partly cloudy, 26. These are maximums, of course. Charters Towers mostly sunny, 24. Toowoomba morning frost, sunny, 19. Kingaroy sunny and 21. Charleville sunny, 21 as well. Mount Isa mostly sunny, 22 at the Isa. Longreach, mostly sunny, 22. Emerald, sunny, 24. Roma, sunny, 21. Wallumbilla, the same in 21. Dalby, sunny, 22. St George, sunny, 20. Gundawindi, sunny, and 21. And Cunnamulla, sunny, and 19 degrees. 131873 is the open line number. As I normally do prior to coming on air, I have a look at what Sky News are doing. And there was Graham Richardson talking to Kieran Gilbert, their political commentator and co-host of Richo and Jonesy, or Jonesy and Richo one day a week and Richo for the rest of the week. G'day, Graham.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. I picked up on something you said. I'll get to Bill Shorten's performance last night. But you made the point Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg would have been sitting in cabinet when this is all being discussed and didn't think at any stage to say, hey, fellas, go a bit light on this because my family accessed this second payment via our wives.
Exactly. I mean, they sat in the room when this policy was hatched and they sat there mute and silent, didn't even tell their mates, oh, by the way, there might be a bit of a problem here. Yeah, and now they all look so stupid.
Don't call it a fraud. Don't call it double dipping because we did it. Let's change the law, but you better know, be pre-warned that we did it. And maybe others from Labor, Liberal, it doesn't matter about Labor, but particularly Liberal Party, there may be other people that have accessed it as well before they started jumping up and down.
Ray, there will be. There are hundreds of thousands who've accessed this, and it's not double-dipping. It never was. This was only ever meant as a supplement, as a top-up. It was never meant to be the whole thing. And what happened is because Tony Abbott promised the biggest paid parental leave scheme in the world, literally, then what they had to do when they were dumping that and then even cutting what was left, they had to make it look virtuous. So they jumped onto this clever idea of saying it was double-dipping, and hasn't it blown up in their face?
Now, speaking of blowing up in people's faces, we'll get back to your side of politics. Bill,
yep.
Bill Shorten was throwing the money about last night with gay abandon, but as you've pointed out this morning on Sky, never once was there any indication of where the money will come from or any savings to be made.
No, there wasn't. And I mean, the trouble is, when you're following on from two incredibly incompetent and unpopular people like Rudd and Gillard, and you're the Labor leader, you've got a lot of ground to make up. Because when it comes to trusting you to mind the till, Australians won't do it. And so if you're going to convince them that you are different to them and you can be trusted, you've got to show that you don't only know how to spend, you've got to show that you know how to save. And not once did he even mention the fact that here was a saving or two, and yet he wanted to spend another 20-odd billion. I mean, you can't do it. And Labor have to learn the lesson. It's not the old politics. You can't just release policies a day out from an election. Because if you don't convince people way in advance, a year in advance, that you know what you're doing and that you're prepared to make the cuts and make the hard decisions, you won't get elected.
I will take one issue with you about what you said this morning, and that was, I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think you said it was a pretty good performance by Shorten. I didn't listen to all of it, but I found much of it I listened to from early this morning. I don't think he's really good on his feet. I know it was a prepared script, but, you know, when he was asked, and Alan played some of it this morning where he asked those questions and they answered the questions, the rhetorical questions, he's just not very inspiring speaker, Rich. He can't get me.
No, I agree with you. I said the rhetoric was good, and I believe it was. It was a well-crafted speech, but he ain't Winston Churchill. And so when he gets up and speaks, it doesn't come out as a great orator. It never will. Bill has to rely on content, not on flourish.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And I've called on Frydenberg and Cormann to return the $11,000 out of embarrassment for not telling their colleagues. Morrison, I know he's your mate, and you mentioned that this morning, but he must feel like he's just a dill, having not known this going into, you know, the budget and all the pre-budget stuff he was doing and the post-budget stuff he did.
Oh, Scott's a mate of mine, but he looked like such a mug yesterday. He's called it a rort. And then when he finds out his mates are in the rort, he stands up and says, oh, I never meant to say that those who used it were rorters. It was just the system was a rort. So as I said this morning, you go up and take the first 100 people walking down Martin Place today and ask them, do you think if you're in a rort, you're a rorter? 100% of them will say yes. And so Scott, God bless him, just looked like a total mug yesterday. Not his fault, but that's what happens, mate, when you go too far in the rhetoric. Always be careful about how far you go.
All right, you be careful as well. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Graham.
Good on you, mate. Bye.
Graham Richardson there from Sky News, their political commentator and the host of Richo and Richo and Jones. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Now, I've got some problems on the roads that we heard about in Sydney particularly. Someone, and it appears to be a motorcyclist, hit by a garbage truck on Hoxton Park Road near Hill Road, Lanier. A truck on Fairford Road, closing it in both directions at Gow Street at Bankstown. Ian Wallace will update that. And I just got another one from a listener about a truck, by the look of it. Let me have a look. Yeah, just letting you know, there's a truck with a blown tyre heading down Windsor Road at Borkham Hills just before Macca's. Heading towards Parramatta in the left-hand lane. Thank you, Carl, who's one of the airport shuttle drivers. So we've got a truck with a blown tyre. Now, I'm also being told by Annie from Galston Gorge, please no, there's a horse float stuck on the second hairpin bend heading towards Hornsby from Galston's side. Now, there are length requirements. I hope that the truck isn't over the 7.5 metres from memory. But if it is, police will be there to meet the horse float. A horse float stuck on the second hairpin bend before the gorge heading towards Hornsby. So coming from Galston side across to the other side. 131873 is our open lane number, 2gb.com. Now, quickly to Ian Wallace for an update on what's happening with that Sydney traffic. Wally?
And Ray, at Padstow, now the person's been knocked over by a truck. Fairford Road is closed in both directions near Canterbury Road. Now, southbound traffic on Fairford Road, use the Stacey Street exit down to Canterbury Road. Northbound traffic on Fairford Road is being directed left onto Gow Street. Extensive delays in both directions on Fairford Road, Ray.
Well done, Wally. Thank you very much. It's 23:30 to 10.
Macquarie National News.
Erin, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. The body of a 2-year-old boy who perished in a devastating house fire in Logan City in Brisbane is yet to be recovered as investigations into the cause of the blaze continue. A number of federal government departments have joined forces to ensure new migrants are taught Australian values in the wake of last year's deadly Sydney siege. A federal government staffer will face a Canberra court. Stephen John Ellis is charged with committing an act of indecency, indecent exposure and drugs charges. And Malaysia has turned away two vessels carrying hundreds of migrants, while one boat has turned up in Thai waters with 10 people dead. In sport, two games kick off the NRL's Women in League round tonight. The Bulldogs take on the Roosters. The Cowboys and Broncos clash in Townsville. Ray, more news in about 23 minutes.
Okay, thank you. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon. Kerry has been in contact with us. Today is the birthday for one of our loyal listeners in Sydney, Sean McArdle, turning 65. Now, Sean is the gentleman with a beautiful Irish accent who phones a lot of the programs, including Alan's from time to time, and keeps us entertained with funny little story. So, Sean, happy 65th birthday from everyone today on the Ray Hadley Morning Show. I mentioned earlier this week the funeral service for a young man who was tragically killed in an accident last week. And this coming, he was a member of the Hills Bulls rugby league club, a distinguished junior rugby league club in Western Sydney around Baulkham Hills and part of the Parramatta Junior Rugby League. And a tribute's been written in the New South Wales Rugby League online site about this young fella. Now, this Sunday, the Hills Bulls will pay tribute to Nathan Grimmo when the Bulls and the Guildford Owls meet for the inaugural Nathan Grimmo Shield in the Sydney Shield competition. Thousands of people, and I do mean thousands of people, are expected to flock to Crestwood Oval to pay their respects. They'll celebrate the life of Nathan, a very proud young man, and a Hills Bull himself. The club will wear black armbands this weekend as a mark of respect for Nathan and the Grimmo family. And the New South Wales Rugby League passed on its deepest sympathies to the Grimmo family and their many friends. So this weekend, Sunday particularly, it's a day celebrating the life of young Nathan by all his teammates. And they play for the inaugural Nathan Grimmo Shield in the Sydney Shield competition between the Hills Bulls and the Guildford Owls. Good luck to everyone attending. 131873 is the open line number. Richard is behind the horse float. Hello, Richard.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. You followed the truck, did you?
Yeah, it's a horse truck. It's not a float. It's a horse truck. It's a rigid truck.
Right.
And he's coming from the Hornsby side, heading towards Galston, and he's almost out the other side now.
My listener had said, Anne, I think, said he was coming the other way. You're saying he's going from Hornsby to Galston.
No, I'm about 10 cars behind him, heading towards Galston, and I'm just coming out the other side of the gorge now, and he's 10 cars in front of me.
Can you do me a favour? Can you get his radio so I can talk to the cops about him?
I'll see if I can. I've got to turn off to my place before I...
Yeah, I understand that. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
How long has it taken you to come if you've been behind him?
It's probably added another 10 minutes to the trip through the gorge.
What, doing three-point turns all the way down?
Yeah, because he can't negotiate the hairpins in one turn like a car. But he's well over. I'm looking at him now. He's just going past Calderwood Road, past that roundabout.
Yeah. And, any signs on the truck?
No signs on the truck.
Apart from I'm a dill.
It's a red and white truck, or a burnt red and white truck. Oh. White on top and red on the bottom part.
All right, Richard, you're out now. Anyone else that can give me the details on the truck, which is oversized in Galston Gorge? Thankfully, people have been able to negotiate their way out of the gorge behind the truck, but... I mean, he's gone past any number of signs. He's gone past measuring bays on the way from Hornsby to Galston. Ignored them all. 131873 is our open line number. 9.5 to 10. By the way, that fund's already up to 31,000 on the strength of the Daily Telegraph advertising it this morning. Braden's fund's up to 31,000, says George. Thank you for that, George. And you can get all the details. GoFundMe is that website. 131873. Ray, just been told by a friend in Townsville that the Great Northern Hotel will ablaze. Can you check it out? I'll find out from our station up there, 4K1G, 131873. Wendy says, what a good laugh watching Besser Bill last night. He felt someone had to bring his own renter crowd for support. Yeah, someone should be able to tell me. We'll ring someone from government to find out where they came from, the renter crowd who were clapping and cheering at the end of all of that. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. A good example of what Australian Muslims are all about is what happened at the University of Western Sydney last night during the lecture by some so-called clerics, where the men and women were asked to sit apart. Well, Keith, we dealt with that about half an hour ago, and I agree with you 100%, but we have dealt with it. Ray, it may be trivial, but if you read the transcript of the Laurie Oakes interview with Joe Hockey last week, Mr. Oakes puts words in the Treasurer's mouth when he used the term fraud. So you're saying that people are getting paid parental leave twice, they cop what they get from the employer, they claim it from the government. Yes, and it's patently unfair. This is basically fraud, isn't it? Taking an allowance twice effectively. Who's doing it? And the Treasurer agreed. So I don't know that Laurie put words in his mouth. I think you'll find the Treasurer was quite happy to accommodate the use of that word. He probably didn't know at the time that two of his own cabinet colleagues were part of the alleged fraud. 131873. Well said, Ray, about what happened at University of Western Sydney. Tell those groups to leave their medieval ideas where they belong back in the Stone Age, not with us. 131873. Phillip's got an update on Galston Gorge. Yes, Philip.
G'day, Ray.
What can you tell me, mate?
Yeah, look, the reason the lady was going from Hornsby to Galston was simply she couldn't get up the other side, so through She chucked a three-point turn halfway up the Hornsby side and went back to Galston.
Hang on. She did a three-point turn?
She did. She used one of the U-bends to do a three-point turn.
So the lady was right. She was going originally from Galston to Hornsby. She got
That's
over
right.
the little bridge, and then she did a three-point turn and came back the other way.
She got halfway up the Hornsby side. She'd have been better carrying on because she would have only had one more U-bend to negotiate.
Well,
so
she would have been better off not getting there in the first place.
Well, I agree.
Anyway, she'd now be on New Line Road, on the Old Northern Road, heading to New Line Road. If someone sees her, can they give me some identification for the truck, please? Because it's being driven by a dill, female or otherwise. Thanks, Philip.
Cheers, Ray.
I don't know where she's headed, but she needs to be spoken to by someone about reading signs and making sure she doesn't do what she did there this morning. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. I'm sick of these extremist groups getting away with such vile and unacceptable teachings. Well, I still don't understand. I won't. Hizbut Tahrir is banned in many, many, many other countries. But for some reason, there's a resistance here, and there has been since the time of John Howard, to ban them. And I've got absolutely no idea why. Masood says, Ray, there's a container of paint upside down on the M2 between Lane 1, Lane 2, Citybound, roughly 100 metres from the toll point. Slow down, everybody. Masood, we'll let the M2 people know and see if they can get that move quickly. And Zach says, Ray, can you give a friendly reminder about the Coffs Harbour show for Saturday and Sunday? It'll be a wonderful, wonderful weekend in Coffs Harbour. Well, Zach, I hope you have good weather for the Coffs Harbour show, and I'm sure all our listeners out there in Coffs Harbour territory know about the Coffs Harbour show on 2CS. Thanks for that, Zach. I mentioned it, that I was getting emails from one particular source about the bikie laws in Queensland, and this one came from someone calling himself Richard McCoy. I don't know if Richard exists or not, because he hasn't answered me. On behalf of the majority of law-abiding Australians who ride motorbikes, I protest your lumping everyone in with the drug dealers and other crims who happen to ride bikes. Most of us are innocent of anything other than enjoying our means of transport and saving a few bob. Perhaps outlawing Harley Davidsons would help remove the scum from our society. Now, Richard, I don't remember tarring every bike rider with the same brush. I try to refer to bikies as outlaw motorcycle gang members. I've replied to Richard in the only way I see fit. Richard, you're a dope. No one apart from criminal gangs who bash people, sell drugs and deal in death and misery have so far been arrested because of the Queensland bikie laws. Wake up to yourself. 131873 is our open line number. It's 11 minutes to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian fleet sales. Call 1300 used cars.
At Padstow, Bankstown, a person's been knocked over. Fairford Road is closed in both directions near Canterbury Road. Southbound traffic on Fairford Road, use Stacey Street down to Canterbury Road. Now, northbound traffic on Fairford Road has been directed left onto Gow Street. Extended delays in both directions around Fairford Road. North meter truck, he's broken down. Windsor Road southbound near Ventura Road. Lanier, the smash on Hoxton Park Road westbound at Webster Road has been cleared. The M1 Pacific Motorway, okay, out of Sydney. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Aldi is the home of the lowest prices. 300 gram sour cream was $1.19, now $1.09. For everyday low prices, visit Aldi today.
G'day, Trevor.
Yeah, how you going, Ray?
All right, pal. What, have you got the chainsaw going?
No, motorbike just went past.
All right, mate, what's happened?
I was just following the truck through the gorge.
Oh, another one, yeah. You got any details for me?
No, the same one.
Yeah.
It just another one following,
that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want the number plate, I've got it for you.
Okay. Has it got any identification? It's a WA plate, someone's telling me on the email,
is that
right?
Yeah, it's a WA plate.
Okay.
It's got sponsored by... You want me to say the name?
Yeah, go on. Go for your life.
It's sponsored by Horseland Perth.
Horseland
Perth. On the front
door. Okay. All right, buddy. Stay there. We'll give that to our friends at the Traffic Management Centre and to the New South Wales Police Force to have a talk to the young lady driving it before she goes down another wrong alley, so to speak. 131873, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Ray, I highly recommend you see if you can get the audio of the Minister, Barnaby Joyce, talking with Kyle Sandilands. Well, you want it? Here it is.
He's on the phone now. Hello.
Kyle, how are you, mate?
Good. A little bit overboard, don't you think? Were you grandstanding here a bit? You and Johnny Depp having a big standoff, or do you regret that choice of words?
No, I don't, Tom. That's the law. It's no different from Mr. Depp.
Yeah, but why do you have to sound like such a hero on there, like making out you're going to kill someone's dogs? A lot of dog lovers will be just hating your guts right now.
That's fair enough, Kyle. I can do that.
What?
Kyle, that's the law, mate. But that's how it works.
What, the law is what? You've got to act like an idiot and tell everyone you're going to kill someone's dogs. Is that the law,
If we ended up with races in this country, Kyle, you'd have all your listeners completely up in arms. If we had leishmania come into this country, your listeners would be up in arms. If we had leptospirosis come in, these diseases, Kyle, are next door, mate. They're not 1,000 miles away, and they're definitely in the United States.
Sorry, Barnaby, you may not be able to hear what I'm saying properly, but what I said was I'm not saying that the guy didn't do the wrong thing. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be fined or the dogs shouldn't be quarantined. What I'm saying is you sound like an absolute clown telling the guy to bugger off back to Hollywood or we'll kill his dogs. You sound like an idiot. You should have reworded your statement. Sound like a classy guy. You're a government minister, not some idiot off the street mouthing off to a news camera. Have some decency.
Yes, Kyle, that seems interesting coming from you, mate. You're the number one.
Oh, shut up, Barnaby. You're an absolute joke, Barnaby. You get 5 minutes on the radio in the news camera.
I'm going off
because you sound like an insensitive wanker. That's what you sound like, Barnaby. You're a joke. You're a disgrace. And you should retract your statement and reword it properly.
Keep going, Kyle.
Have you gone red yet, Barnaby? Have you gone all red? You're embarrassed about yourself?
All right.
You're a savage little man, aren't you?
Don't need to.
No, I'm not even a little man. I'm 6 foot one, Barnaby. Wake up to yourself. People don't like people talking about animals like that.
Have a listen to this fella.
Oh, you're a up on Barnaby. What a wanker. See you later. What a loser.
Oh, we haven't had an interview.
What a loser.
Oh, dear. We have the news after a break.
It's been away for a short time. We really haven't missed him though. And it's not that great that he wants to renominate. Please don't do it, Swanee. Pretty sure that no one loves him long time. His own party wants him to go. The front bench don't care if he is there. Swanee, let us be. Swanee, we don't want you, we don't want you. My dear old Swanee, we'd give the world to see. When Swan retire and L-E-A-B eventually Hadley's waiting for you, praying that you'll please stand down, Swanee. The folks of Australia want no more. You cost them way too much before. Swanee, we don't want you back, oh Swanee. Please go leave us alone.
I just thought, as we welcome back to the second hour, on Budget Week, it was appropriate to pay tribute in our own way to the former Treasurer, who, of course, had the distinction of delivering every budget that he delivered under the former Labor government in, of course, deficit. Not one surplus in all those years. Never delivered a budget surplus, Swanee. Now, a note from the 2XL newsroom in the Coomer-Jindabyne area. There are reports this morning of an alleged shooting at Nimitabelle. Police are investigating. No details being released, but there may be an announcement shortly. We'll send information from Jindabyne when it comes up. Thank you to the newsroom at 2XL. I appreciate your help. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Ray, that buffhead suggesting that you would want Harley's band. I bet he is a lay-down, go-fast sports bike. Which make up a large number of motorcycle accidents. I have no idea, Chris. But anyway, we had heaps of groups of up to 100 motorcycle riders go to Cairns this year for the Hog Rally. No problems from police whatsoever. Further, Queensland police have no problems with groups of law-abiding people on motorcycles, as long as they're law-abiding. Thank you. And this campaign, which is largely via urban myth in Queensland, which has been seized upon by Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Premier, I hope that she wakes up to the fact. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Barry, the rave by Carl, confirms what a disrespectful person he is. Lynn, what a buffhead. He's one of the prime reasons there's a lack of respect for any kind of authority in the country, from youth. Has Kyle had all his shots, frothing at the mouth? Poor boy, says Andrew. Just heard what you played up to the news with Kyle and Barnaby. Can you try to get Johnny Depp on to see if he's got room on the jet for Kyle? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Kyle and Jackie O gave a bloke $1,000 on air yesterday to perform oral sex on himself. And he's worrying about a lack of class. Look, Bowen, would that possibly be true? I mean,
given their form, probably, Ray. I can't confirm it, but that'd be one of the more mild things they've done.
What, give a bloke $1,000 to perform oral sex on himself?
Yep.
Okay, that was at 8 o'clock yesterday. Can you?
I'll check it out.
Because I would. Because in context, he accuses, and I actually thought Kyle was going all right. And for people that didn't hear it, maybe you've just joined us.
He's on the phone now. Hello,
Kyle. How are you, mate?
Good. A little bit overboard, don't you think? Were you grandstanding here a bit, you and Johnny Depp having a big standoff, or do you regret that choice of words?
No, I don't, Kyle. That's the law. It's no different from Mr. Depp.
Yeah, but why do you have to sound like such a hero on there, like making out you're going to kill someone's dogs? A lot of dog lovers will be just hating your guts right now.
That's fair enough, Kyle. I can do that.
What?
Kyle, that's the law, mate. That's how it works.
What, the law is what? You've got to act like an idiot and tell everyone you're going to kill someone's dogs? Is that the law, is it?
Kyle, yeah. If we ended up with races in this country, Kyle, you'd have all your listeners completely up in arms. If we had leishmania come into this country, your listeners would be up in arms. If we had leptospirosis come in, these diseases, Kyle, are next door, mate. They're not 1,000 miles away, and they're definitely in the United States.
You may not be able to hear what I'm saying properly, but what I said was, I'm not saying that the guy didn't do the wrong thing. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be fined or the dogs shouldn't be quarantined. What I'm saying is, you sound like an absolute clown telling the guy to bugger off back to Hollywood or we'll kill his dogs.
Now, up till there, I thought he was making a reasonable fist of it, Kyle. But then it sort of degenerates, and I'm fascinated to find out whether there was $1,000 offered for a person to perform a sex act on themselves yesterday on the program. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Now to the rest of it.
He's on the phone now. Hello.
Okay, that went right back to the start, so we'll leave that there, but you've heard the rest of it anyway. Let me have a look. May 14, 12:14. Kyle and Jackie O crossed the line this morning by paying a male listener $1,000 to prove that he could perform a sex act on himself. What's more surprising about the distasteful piece of content is the fact that it aired just after 8 o'clock, which is peak listening time for the breakfast show. The in-studio stunt came after Jackie O asked yesterday if any listeners were actually physically able to perform the act. Josh rang us. I'm one of those guys who can... I see. All right, so... he was offered a cash reward, and he was invited into the studio and offered a cash reward if he could demonstrate that he was able to do it. Now, he didn't physically do it because they got some crunchy bars to replace his penis. And he was able to eat the crunchy bar, apparently. I see. It doesn't make me all that worried about some of the things I do here, having heard that. I must live in a cocoon. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Now, that story from 2XL, our newsroom down there, a report's being prepared for the coroner after the shooting death of a man and minor injuries being sustained by a second man during an argument south of Cooma. This morning at 3:15 a.m, a 32-year-old man at a residence in Nimitabel had become involved in an argument with another person. During the argument, the 32-year-old sustained a gunshot wound despite the efforts of those at the scene he was unable to be revived. A 28-year-old sustained minor injuries. A third was not injured. As a result of the inquiries, police found the body of a 58-year-old man in a car at Nimitabelle. A post-mortem examination will officially determine how the man died. But initial inquiry suggests there are no apparent suspicious circumstances. No other parties are being sought in relation to the death of the 32-year-old. Okay. The shooting death of one man and minor injuries being sustained by a second. 32-year-old was a resident when he became involved in an argument. The 32-year-old sustained a gunshot wound. He was unable to be revived. A 28-year-old man sustained minor injuries. Police found the body of a 58-year-old man. Look, unless this is a printing error by the police media, they've got one bloke shot dead being 32 and then another one 58. So there are two people dead. Is that what they're saying? They're saying, well, there are two people dead. And they're saying that the 58-year-old, initial inquiry suggests there's no apparent suspicious circumstances there. And then they say no other parties are being sought in relation to the death of the 32-year-old. So I guess they're inferring it's a double suicide. That's what they're inferring. I can only think that may be the case. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Trevor says the irony of Sandland's giving a lecture on class. Well, in light of what happened yesterday, I think he probably was wide of the mark today and wide of the mark yesterday. I think Kyle is suffering from delusions of adequacy. Imagine him calling someone a person lacking in class. 131873. Now, back to the news stories of the day. We've had a report come from Jamie in our 4BC studios that the fire in the Great Northern Hotel in Townsville started at 5 o'clock in what's believed to be a laundry room. The fire was contained, has not caused damage to the rest of the pub, which is heritage listed. The building was evacuated. One man taken to hospital with suspected smoke inhalation. The fire is well and truly out, but the crews are still at the scene. They're investigating whether it was suspicious. So that the pub survived, which is good news. And I got a listener phoning me about an accident this morning, early this morning, hit at the bus terminal on Morgan Street near Beverly Hills train station. Police are still there. That happened a couple of hours ago, actually. We have no idea about the condition of the person involved. Fairford Road remains closed in both directions near Gower Street and Padstow in Sydney because of a pedestrian accident. Northbound motorists being diverted via the M5 motorway. Traffic in the area is heavy. Motorists are experiencing significant delays, we're being told there. Significant delays. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. In the meantime, a couple of birthday wishes. Bruce from the Central Coast says, happy 82nd to my brother Kevin. He listens every day at Lily Pilly. He's off to the races on Saturday. Good on you, Brucey. And happy 82nd birthday to Bruce's brother, Kevin, down there at Lily Pilly in the Sutherland Shire. By the way, I was right. Wayne Swan delivered 6 budgets, none of them in surplus. None of them in surplus. But that's why we think about him during budget week. 16 past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Padstow, with this person knocked over, Fairford Road remains closed in both directions. South of Canterbury Road from Bankstown. Now, traffic on Stacey Street is being directed down to Canterbury Road. Northbound on Fairford Road, traffic turning left into Gower Street. Now, traffic is delayed on Stacey Street, Canterbury Road and Fairford Road. And there's no entry to Fairford Road from the M5 east or westbound ramps. Rose Hill breakdown. James Roos Drive southbound before the M4 and Mount Pleasant. And the breakdown there, M1 affecting northbound traffic. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Celebrate Maybelline's 100th birthday at Priceline Pharmacy. Spend at least $25 on Maybelline to receive your free birthday gift. See in store and online for conditions. Permit 15/01931.
Okay, yeah, police have come back to us from down south Nimitabelle. They're looking at a murder-suicide. That's what they're looking at, a murder-suicide. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Look, I dealt with this morning about an 18-month delay into this report by the New South Wales Ombudsman, Mr. Barber. I don't quite understand it. I think David Shoebridge from the Greens, who was part of the Upper House inquiry, has nailed it when he says it's taking longer than the Wood Royal Commission into the entire police force. And his term in office expires at the end of this June. But if he continues to get another 12 months, he gets another 12 months out of the job as well, it forces the Premier to keep extending the term, and there's already been one extension. I thought I'd check with David Shoebridge from the New South Wales Upper House, the Greens. He's there now. G'day, David.
Oh, g'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. I've said this to you before in discussions with this, before you started taking part in the Upper House inquiry. I asked the Ombudsman when Barry O'Farrell announced this, because I was concerned that there'd be another cover-up like there'd been previously, whether he had the resources necessary to conduct the inquiry in the time frame. He told me, yes, he did. He said, what's your interest in it? And I said, well, justice. And obviously, if the government's trying to cover this up and not giving you the sort of resources you need, I'll agitate on air for the resources. And he assured me he had the necessary resources to do it within the time frame. Since then, we've had two extensions.
Oh, look, it's just, it is extraordinary. The initial time frame that the government spoke about when they referred it to him in October 2012 was a six-month turnaround. They threw like four or five, maybe more, million dollars at it, this inquiry. And every time we get close to what is the sort of freshly announced deadline, there's another extension. We were told when we were establishing the parliamentary inquiry into the delay in November last year that, that his hearings were going to end at the end of 2014, and we'd have a report in the first half of 2015. When he came before the inquiry, the Ombudsman told us, oh, well, but by June, now the inquiry's finished, and you know, potentially the government and the Ombudsman are thinking the sort of political pressure is off. We're told it's way off into the never-never, and they're putting an ad out to employ someone to work on Operation Prospect with a potential 18-month timeframe.
You say the Wood Royal Commission in the 1990s reviewed the entire New South Wales Police Force, took 3 years, 419 hearings, 856 witnesses, and considered 226 public submissions.
Yeah, the Wood Royal Commission that looked at, you know, you put your mind back to the mid to late 1990s, there were very real concerns and there was evidence of endemic corruption in the New South Wales Police Force. They had extraordinary evidence. They had an enormous job to do. And it went over more than 400 hearings that they had. And that entire job, which I've got to say, reformed the New South Wales Police Force, that entire job from the Wood Royal Commission took less time than this single inquiry by the New South Wales Ombudsman into one aspect of bugging is likely to take.
But see, David Shoebridge, what he's done now, he's extended that, and we discussed this prior to your Uphouse inquiry. It appears that he's not trying to find out why Nick Caldas and others were targeted by people within the police force to bug illegally their phones, but he wants to find out who then told the media, shock horror, that their phones had been bugged illegally.
Yeah, well, it's you know, mission creep of the first order, isn't it? What everybody wanted him to look at was what went wrong in the late 1990s and early 2000s that saw, you know, 50-plus secret warrants issued against journalists and against senior police, which ended up coming up with no evidence of corruption. Nobody found out about it. And you know, why were these people being targeted and monstered? That's what people wanted him to look at.
100%.
And instead, we've seen this inquiry expand into effectively a witch hunt into who told the media this, who's been agitating to get some justice, who's leaked some documents into the public arena. If those documents hadn't found their way into the public arena, this entire thing would have been swept under the carpet and we would have never got anything looked at.
But haven't you and the Shooters and Fishers done the job anyway, along with Fred Nile, of Mr. Barber? Haven't you already ascertained most of the answers we need?
Well, look, we started our inquiry in November. We finished it in February, and I think we did more work in those 4 months in terms of putting on the public record what went horribly wrong, about the lack of checks and balances between our security agencies and the court, and about calling for the most obvious thing, an apology to the people who were wrongly targeted. I think we did more in 4 months than the Ombudsman's done, from what we can tell, in three years of work. And remember, the Ombudsman first was referred this issue in 2003. 2003, the Ombudsman was first referred this issue. It's the same Ombudsman, remember. This Mr. Barber's been the Ombudsman since 2000. He first had it come across his desk in 2003. It's 2015, and it looks like we won't get an answer probably until 2016.
Just if I can, and I haven't explored this with you previously, you say if the Ombudsman continued delay demonstrates anything, it's the utter failure of the existing mechanisms to oversight the New South Wales Police. Now, you and I think differently on many things. We find common ground here.
Mm.
But I'm from your side of politics, I'm wondering, and I've been agitating for some time now in New South Wales, that we don't need all these six bodies looking at the same thing. And as you'd know, it becomes a bit of a piddling competition as to who gets most money from the government if they, you know, do as many inquiries as they do. Do we really need, and I, please don't get me wrong, we do need governing bodies for the police force and for government and for bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. We need the ICAC in the right form. And the Crime Commission does, you know, a good job with their resources. But do we need, as well as them looking at it, the Professional Standards Bureau? Do we need the Police Integrity Commission and then the Ombudsman as well as the ICAC and the other mob? Do we need them all?
Oh, look, it's an ungodly mess, the way that we oversight police in New South Wales. And whether you look at it from the perspective of someone who has a complaint and is a victim, mm-hmm. and wants to get a, you know, an impartial resolution of their complaint, or you look at it from the perspective of a police officer who's the subject of a complaint, when there's an initial complaint, it goes to the internal affairs. If the internal affairs resolution doesn't fix it, it can bounce off to the ombudsman. It can then be referred off to WorkCover. It can then go off to a coronial court if someone had died. It can then go off to the Police Integrity Commission. They can all be doing it at the same time. And then this hodgepodge can come up with a variety of different outcomes. And you know, you're a police officer. What, you get interrogated by the police, the internal affairs, you get interrogated by the ombudsman, you get interrogated by the Police Integrity Commission, you get interrogated by the coroner, you get interrogated by WorkCover. And then if charges get preferred at the end, you then get interrogated at court. Now, that is nobody thinks that's fair. Nobody thinks that's efficient. And while we've got this delay from the ombudsman in responding to this Operation Prospect, we've got inaction from the government in reforming the system. We need a single, independent, well-resourced police oversight body. That's what we need.
You know what, David? I'm starting to get worried because there are too many things that I agree with you about.
Well,
and that means either I'm getting old and silly or you're the smartest green in any parliament anywhere in Australia.
Well, I think we're both troubled by it, right?
Touche. Touche.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, right. David, you do an outstanding job in the Upper House, an outstanding job, and I want to thank you for doing it. As I said, we mightn't be having common ground in a lot of areas, but on this one, we're one voice.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's fix it. Let's fix it.
Good on you, David. Okay. I'll support you. Thank you. Thanks, David Shoebridge, New South Wales Greens MP. And, you know, I think of some of the Greens and some of the arguments I've had about them, and then I think of him. And he has been someone in the State Parliament, in the Upper House, who's done a damn good job. David Shoebridge, the New South Wales Greens. 131873 is the open line number. Pete Davidson has sent me this from 2CC in Canberra. A 12-year-old boy is missing from Canberra's north after failing to return home after school yesterday. Police say the boy was last seen at Belconnen at 8:30 p.m. at the Belconnen Way and I think it's Lakeland Street traffic lights. They've issued a CCTV image showing the boy at Belconnen Mall earlier in the evening. He's described as being Caucasian, about 152 centimetres tall with short brown hair, and the photo would be published on the Canberra Times website and also on the police website in the nation's capital. Now, I often refer here to the rather inadequate sentencing of pedophiles across all jurisdictions, New South Wales, Queensland, the ACT, Victoria, Tasmania, wherever it is, South Australia, Northern Territory, Western Australia. An American man who took and distributed pornographic photos of a girl with her mother's consent has been jailed in Mexico for 200 years. 200 years. Mexican authorities say Gary Michael Ferroglia was arrested for taking images of a minor girl, which he then sent to other countries on the internet. Police say he's been found in possession of more than 100,000 images and 207 videos of child porn. In addition to his 199-year prison term, Ferroglia was fined the equivalent of $120,000. The girl's mother was also convicted for allowing the man to take the photos of her daughter. Now, somewhere between what Mexico does and what we do here, totally inadequate in dealing with these type of creatures, lies the truth. $29 to $11.
Macquarie National News.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hello there, Ray. A New South Wales coroner has accused police of driving like they were on a racetrack but cleared them of any blame in the death of toddler Sky Sassine. A fire on an eighth-floor balcony on the Gold Coast has been extinguished. It's understood it was furniture which caught light. Two men are dead and a third is injured following a suspected murder-suicide south of Coomera in New South Wales. And a man's been arrested after trying to launch a drone outside the White House fence in Washington. In sport, Parramatta coach Brad Arthur has left the door open for Chris Sando to return to the side. He'll play in the New South Wales Cup this weekend instead of running out for the Eels tomorrow against the Warriors. Ray, more news in about 29 minutes.
OK, look forward to it. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. You click on the feedback icon. What about this one from Mount Druitt in Western Sydney? A disqualified driver has been charged after being caught driving twice in 6 hours in Sydney's West. 3:30 yesterday afternoon, police from Mount Druitt LAC stopped the Ford Falcon at Shelby. They spoke to the driver, a 22-year-old, a woman. Checks revealed she's a disqualified driver and the vehicle was unregistered. She was advised to stop driving, issued with a future court attendance notice for driving whilst disqualified. Last night, about 6 hours later, 9:40, police stopped a car at Lethbridge Park for the purpose of a random breath test. The driver returned a negative result. However, she was identified by police as being stopped earlier and facing legal action for driving whilst disqualified. The woman from Lethbridge Park was taken to Mount Druitt Police Station, charged with driving whilst disqualified and still driving the same unregistered vehicle. She's been bail refused. She'll be before Mount Druitt local court today. Now, from Queensland, a nine-year-old boy has suffered minor injuries after being hit by a car at low speed on the corner of the Gold Coast Highway and Heron Avenue at Mermaid Beach. He'll be okay. Four people have been taken to hospital for minor smoke inhalation after a fire at Surfers Paradise. Early this morning, two people taken to the Gold Coast University Hospital and two to Robina. And one patient has been transported, they tell me, from Queensland Ambulance to the Princess Alexandra Hospital after a two-vehicle crash at Darra in southwestern Brisbane around 7 this morning. They're in a stable condition, so all those people are going to recover, which is wonderful news. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon. I spoke yesterday about a police operation that shut down part of central Brisbane after a suspicious device was found underneath a car at Fortitude Valley. It's now been reported a disgruntled ex-girlfriend might have been behind the hoax device. Police were called to Arthur Street at 7:40 a.m. after a man found a suspicious package under his car. Officers shut down the surrounding streets. After 4 hours, police deemed the device harmless, and they said it was a bit like a GPS tracking device. I suggested someone must have been following him or wanting to. In a new twist, Channel 9 Brisbane reports the device may have been placed there by a disgruntled ex-girlfriend. They've identified the driver of the BMW as Tom Rook, a property developer from Fortitude Valley, who claims a similar, less sophisticated device was placed in his car the day before. We reported that yesterday. It's been reported Mr. Rook thinks an ex-girlfriend may be responsible for the device. Police say there are no suspects at this stage, but are continuing their investigations. How many ex-girlfriends has he got? There must be a long list or something. For your information, Ray, Labor last delivered a surplus in 1989. As for coal, berating someone for having no class, that's like a leopard judging a beauty contest. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Ray, could you wish a happy birthday to my co-worker, Angelo, long-time listener, loves the program. Are you sure he loves it, Adam, Reese, Trevor and Ryan, or are you just taking the mickey out of me? Anyway, whether you like it or not, Angelo, happy birthday, son. All the best to you. 131873, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. In relation to Mr. Shoebridge, you're missing the other possibility. It could be you're both getting older and both getting sillier. And David is the smartest green. You're right about that. Aaron says, from Depthay, listening to your interview with Mr. Shoebridge, I've decided that bloke is way too smart to be a member of the Greens. Well, I guess that's a bit how I feel as well. An important story coming out of Canberra. A federal government staffer working for Malcolm Turnbull has faced court charges of public indecency. Advisor Stephen John Ellis, 48, was charged yesterday with committing an act of indecency and indecent exposure and is now facing two drugs charges. The ACT Magistrate Court heard this morning he was allegedly in possession of LSD and amphetamines. The court has heard the alleged act of indecency happened at Canberra Airport in the presence of a man named Andrew Donaldson. Ellis was granted bail. The matter was adjourned until June 5. Bail was conditional on him agreeing not to consume any illicit substances. On that story, and the court will deal with this bloke at 48, the story from Daniel Mears in News Limited today says the deadly drug ice is easier to buy than ever before, with more than 90% of users describing it as an easy or very easy accessible drug. The startling figures emerged in the Australian Crime Commission annual illicit drug data report to be released today. Authorities have intercepted 183 kilograms of ice, or crystal meth, 49 kilograms and 39 kilograms in three separate instances in the past year. Organised crime syndicates are selling the drug for more than $250,000 a kilogram. State and federal crime agencies are intercepting more of the drug, with amphetamine seizures, including ice, rising by 33% in New South Wales alone. The Federal Justice Minister, Michael Keenan, said ice was the nation's biggest drug concern. Ice poses the highest risk of all illicit drugs to our community because of the violent, menacing and irrational way people behave under its influence. Mr. Keenan, who said a national strategy to combat ice would be formulated, added that the drug was causing havoc in communities. Our law enforcement agencies are going as hard as they can with all the tools we have provided, but these efforts will always be challenged by the lucrative illicit drug market and the havoc it can wreak, particularly with the rise in ice. While law enforcers were disrupting more criminals, the illicit drug trade still remained the primary source of profit for organised crime, he said. Just terrible. Nina, hello.
Hello, Ray. Good morning.
Good morning, Nina. Where are you at?
I'm from Landilo.
Beautiful Landilo, which is in the western part of Sydney for people in other parts of Australia. How's yes. things in Landilo this morning?
Yes, I'd just like to take this opportunity to wish my beautiful two grandsons special birthday wishes.
And what are their names, Nina?
Brendan Muscat. It'll be 21 on the 17th, which is Sunday.
Right.
And Hayden Muscat, they're both from Londonderry. He'll be 18 on the 29th of May.
Now, I take it from that surname, and you'll correct me quickly if I'm wrong, that this is a proud Australian Maltese family, is it?
Absolutely.
Well,
I came out here when I was three. I'm a dignity Aussie.
Of course you are, but I sing the praises regularly of the Australian Maltese community.
Yes, I hear you, yes.
Because I don't know, your grandsons...
Brendan, they're very hard-working grandsons.
Well, I was about to say, if they're anything like the young Australian Maltese men I know, born in Australia of Maltese parentage or grandparentage,
yes.
I haven't met one yet that didn't work his backside off, and that goes for the young women as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very hard-working. Wonderful contribution Australian Maltese people make.
Yes, so we'll have a lovely family gathering on Sunday for
well,
all of
good.
Them.
And is Nana going to... What now? You'll have.
I'm Nana Muscat.
Nana, now in
more... And sorry, Ray, yes. These wishes are coming from his grandpa Jim, his mum and dad, and the rest of the whole family.
Oh, of course, we can't leave anyone out here, Nina.
No.
Now, in Maltese, what is a Nana called? Is a Nana called
Nanna.
Nanna.
Yeah, and her grandfather is Nannu.
Nannu. Sounds similar to the Italian,
isn't it? Exactly, yeah, exactly. Very similar.
Very similar. Okay. All right, darling, well, you know what I'm like. I accommodate.
And
proud
while
grandma.
I'm there, Ray, can you just. Well, our anniversary will be on Monday, 52 years, and I'd like to say happy anniversary to my husband, Jim.
Jimmy?
Yes.
So this is all coming up. Brendan's 21 on Sunday.
Yes.
Hayden's 18, did you say, on the 29th?
Correct.
Okay. And you and Jimmy, what, 52 years on Monday?
On Monday, yes. That was a lovely, lovely present.
What a present you've had there. You've had a good month.
Yes.
Well, in between Brendan and Hayden, my baby Sarah is turning 18 on the 26th of this month.
Oh, really? Oh, that's lovely.
So Hayden's, what, 3 days later than her? He's the
29th. Yes, on the 29th.
Well, to Brendan, to Hayden, to Jimmy, to Nina, and all the rest of the crew out there, the Muscats, all the best.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you, Nina.
All the best.
Thanks, darling.
Bye.
Beautiful Landilo. 1318. We had a discussion yesterday with someone I was talking to about Landilo. 1318 73 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon. Michelle says, Ray, at my crust pizza store in Panania today between 11 and 2, every dollar spent will go directly to the MS Walk and Fun Run to help people living with MS like myself. I was diagnosed when I was just 33. Could you let your listeners know how we can help raise as much money as we can? Well, Michelle, I'm always happy to help out in those areas. So anyone in Panania, southwestern Sydney, crust pizza between 11 and 2 today. will go directly to the MS Walk and Fun Run to help people living with MS, like Michelle, who's working there at Crust Pizza at Panania. 131873 is the open line number if you'd like to join us now. Further to our conversation about Johnny's dogs, Johnny Depp's dogs, that is, Boo and Pistol, there's a report. Jeez, I get some publicity, Boo and Pistol. Sky News reporter Brooke Wiley. The Depp's dog saga has turned into Depp's revenge. They have gone to the Gold Coast mansion where the dogs are quarantined, and that's, I think it's right, it's a home formerly owned by Michael Doohan, or is currently owned by Michael Doohan. He's renting it out to the Depp's. Because the crews are out there, and there's a picture of all the news crews and the various AB vans out the front, and someone's turned the sprinklers on. So there's people running left, right and centre to get away from the sprinklers. 131873. The Sanity sale is on right now. Visit Sanity for three albums for $50. There's Meghan Trainor's Title, Pitch Perfect 2 soundtrack, and So Fresh Hits of Autumn. Ed Sheeran, Sam Smith. And can you reckon we get a happy song from Sam? Just one. I absolutely incredible voice, Sam Smith, but I just want him to sing one happy song. Just one. This one. Unbelievable voice he has, hasn't he? I mean, Sam Smith, yes. Moment, the Robertson brothers are doing the Everly Brothers tour, and they're out there, of course, along with Roy Orbison, touring Australia, and I'll tell you when they're coming to your town or city in the foreseeable future, but I have it on good authority that Ben Robertson, as soon as he's finished the Everly Brothers, because Sam's got a sore throat and gone home, and Ben, who's sounding more and more like Sam every day of his life and acting more and more like Sam every day of his life as well, and that's another problem we'll address in the future. But Ben is going to do a tribute series, the Sam Smith tribute show, and this is evidence that he can do it.
Bob and Ray have made a vow, for better or for worse, I believe they're more than friends now. It's time someone built the dirt.
Thanks, Ben. We'll leave that there. That's from the continuous call team on the weekend. But there he goes. He sounds like Sam Smith, unbelievably. So that's what's happening when Dean Bourne and the Robertson brothers have finished their tribute concert to Roy Orbison and the Everly Brothers. Ben Robertson will be embarking on the Sam Smith tour. He'll start in inner city Sydney, work his way up the Fortitude Valley. Anyway. He's an idiot. I told you I'd get square, Benny. Exposing my relationship with the vice-captain. 131873. Anyway, I was telling you about Sanity, by the way. Three albums for $50 right now.
Loves Bobby.
Yes, I don't either. Sanity, proud sponsor of the Ray Hadley Morning Show, supplier of the Ray Hadley Country Music Collection, Volume 3, available now. Supporting Professor Dominic Rowe's research into motor neurone disease. Sanity, great service, and of course, great value. Ah, oh dear. I do love Sam Smith, but great voice. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad, Dan. What's happening, son?
Oh, poking along steady out here.
Where's
trying to keep out of trouble.
Where's out here?
Out in the Isa.
Is that Dan Ballard?
It certainly is.
How are you, mate?
Good, thanks. And yourself?
All right. What have you not been riding? You've ridden a couple of winners recently, but you're off for a while, were you? Did you get a holiday?
Nah, it's just an uphill battle with the weight, mate.
Mate, it's tough. It's tough.
The girth's ever expanding, and then...
I know. Hey, listen, wait till you get to my age.
Yeah, well, it does get tougher every year, that's for sure. So,
what are you riding at now?
The lightest... I've got to ride 59 tomorrow, and that'll be the lightest I've been so far. So, very much a heavyweight by jockey standards.
Yeah, so the weights do get raised in the bush. So I noticed you rode a winner at either 61 or 62 last week or the week before, so... let's hope you've got a great talent. I just hope that you can keep doing what you love doing, son.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. If it wasn't for the enjoyment of it all, I probably would have given it away a long time ago. But pretty unique. It's something I get to share with Mum and Dad. And since Lacey's come on board, she really enjoys the races too. So
Lacey, of course, is your wife. Now, how's old Keith going, the old bloke?
The old bloke's going really well, yeah.
What age is Keith Ballard?
I think Dad's 66 this year.
And he still rides three or four every Saturday at the Isa or somewhere out there?
Yeah, punches plenty around. Unlike myself, Dad goes pretty good with the weight, so anything that I'm too heavy to ride, he rides. But he's
Now, why have you called me today? What's happened?
Well, it's Lacey's got a birthday tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Lacey. Lovely girl. I met her when I came out there. Beautiful young woman.
We should probably keep it between you and me, though.
Well, what's happened?
Well, it's the birthday that all 20-somethings dread.
Uh-oh. I'll swap her. I'll swap
I'm
her.
I'm sure you would.
The big 3-0.
Yeah.
Now, any other news to share?
Yeah, certainly. It'll be a fairly mild celebration because I'm told that a woman in her condition shouldn't drink too much.
Don't tell me there's a baby on the horizon.
Yeah, there certainly is.
When?
Mid-September, it's true.
Tell them to hold off till the 27th so I can remember the baby's birthday, all right?
Rightio.
Hey, mate, I'm delighted for you and Lacey. Give my love to her and your mum and dad as well, and they'll be delighted as well, no doubt, when the baby arrives.
Yeah, they certainly will. The thing we're a bit worried about is mum and dad are looking forward to having someone new to torment, so...
All right, mate. Look after yourself. I've got to fly.
Good to talk to you, Ray. Thank you.
Dan Ballard, fantastic young jockey, and him and his wife, Lacey. Her birthday tomorrow, expecting their first child in September. There'll be plenty of celebrations in the Ballard household, no doubt, coming into September. Great family up there. One of many families, of course, in the racing industry right across rural Australia. By the way, there's a big night coming up at Port Macquarie in June at the Bonnie Hills Beach Hotel at 6:30 because Port Macquarie's most famous Paralympic star, Rod Nugent, has been appointed the head athletics coach for the upcoming Special Olympics World Games. Well done to him, and we'll tell you more about the fundraiser next week. By the way, Fairford Road open in both directions for listeners on 2GB. We have the news coming up in 60 seconds from now. And welcome back, finally out of the program for the last day of the week, although we will be back tomorrow on both 2GB and 4BC for the continuous call team from midday. We're at Dural Tyre Power tomorrow, then the boys start calling the football from around 5:30. And I'll be back in the morning with the Ray Hadley Morning Show Saturday edition with Luke Grant. And my contribution will be the feature interview with Johnny Young. And I'll return to full-time hosting of the program once the football's over in October. But there'll be a feature interview with Johnny Young from Young Talent Time. And he currently is broadcasting on our sister station in Sydney, 2CH, the music station. Now, Brian phoned me from Ingleburn to tell me a truck lift bin fell off the truck on the roundabout at Williamson Road, Henderson Road at Ingleburn. So thank you for that, Brian. A truck lift bin fell off the truck on the roundabout at Williamson Road, Henderson Road. Brian's there. Let me see if the traffic's really bad in the area. Thanks, Brian. Bad news there?
Mate, I'm actually going past it now, but it's actually a hook lift bin. It's like a big industrial bin.
Oh, I know the one you mean. Yeah. Big hook lift. So it's come off at the roundabout Williamson Road and Henderson Road.
No, not Henderson Road, Stennett Road, up the other end.
Stennett Road. Okay, pal, Stennett Road. Williamson and Stennett. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Good man. Thank you. We'll keep an eye on that one. 131873 is the open line number. Now, I don't know if Wally mentioned an accident at Bell, but I've got a photograph coming in from one of my listeners, Simon. Here is a truck breakdown at Bell. The float has bottomed out, and the photo shows a low load of float by the look of it, which is, to my way, across the road. I think there's a grader on it. And it's straight across the middle of the road, the Bells Line of Road, I would suggest. Let me quickly get an update at 7 past 11 from Ian Wallace in a moment or two and find out what's happened there to see whether he knows anything about it. But he says that Bell, which would make it on the Bells Line of Road, I would think, on the way to Lithgow. And it's being taken from a camera on the dash, a dash cam. It looks for all the world like the low loader is right across the road at Bell. Now, it could be the Darling Causeway, I suspect, but I would suspect it's Bell's Line of Road. Well, have you heard anything about this at all on Bell's Line of Road or at Bell itself?
Yes, I have, Ray. It's blocking traffic in both directions on Bell's Line of Road at Chifley Road. So it's right up the top end, up towards the Lithgow area.
Okay, well, what it is, it's a low... I've got a photo of it.
Yep.
It's a low loader. It looks like they've taken the prime mover off, and the low loader has on it a grader.
Right.
And Simon says it's bottomed out. That whether it was coming off the side of the road, you know, from a secondary road or something like that, onto the main road, and it's just, it's caught the road, if you know what I mean. The wheels, the rear wheels are down, and it's the load loader itself is on the road. It can't move anywhere.
Okay, well, Ray, I'm just being told now that it has actually been cleared.
They've got it off.
Yeah, it must have moved to the side of the road, I'd say. But as far as I now know, the Bell's Line of Road has reopened at Bell.
All right, well done. Okay, we'll put that photo up on the website for people to have a look at, but it's interesting how it got to that be in that position. I can only suspect it came from a secondary road. 131873, disgraced former Bundaberg surgeon Jayant Patel has been permanently banned from practising medicine in Australia. The Medical Board of Australia applied to have him banned after he failed to tell health authorities in 2003 he'd previously been sanctioned in Oregon in the US for unprofessional conduct. Dr. Jayant Patel must never be registered as a registered health practitioner in the medical health profession, according to Judge Alexander Hornman Wren. That was in the Queensland Civil Admin Tribunal. They handed down that decision this morning. So he faces a permanent ban. A permanent ban. 131873. And for listeners in Sydney, a couple of things happening this weekend. The St Ives show is on May 16 and 17. Could you let your listeners know about it? I'm more than happy to do that. They sent me a media release. It's a great way to introduce the children to the country for a great day at a reasonable cost, $5 per person, and it's on this weekend. By the look of it, both days, Saturday and Sunday, at the St Ives Showground on Meadowvale Road, it starts at 10 o'clock and goes through till mid-afternoon both days. The St Ives show is on this weekend for people who want to get along to the show. I'm sure you'll have a good time. In fact, I'm told on, let me have a look, Saturday, it looks to me like there'll be a fireworks display at about 6:30 tomorrow night. The Mount Druitt Indigenous Choir will be there as well. And there's a whole range of other things. The All Animal Nursery there Saturday and Sunday, the annual horse show, the heavy horses on display, the heavy horse show competition, the Australian Brumby show competition, the light horse troop static display will be there. Wonderful things. There's pony rides, all the normal attractions, the St Ives Showgirl competition, wood chopping on as well. So it's on Saturday and Sunday, St Ives Show, Meadowvale Road. And I did get a note from Jimmy Hook out at Penrith. He's a retired superintendent of police, Jim. He's now the president of the Penrith Rugby Union Club. Jimmy points out the club, like a lot of clubs, struggling. We're having our Back to Penrith Day tomorrow. We're trying to get people to the game. It's part of our 50th year anniversary celebrations. The game is against Parramatta at Nepean Rugby Park at Cranbrook. Festivities commence at about 12 noon. We'll have the Mayor, Mr. Ross Fowler, in attendance, Penrith Pantherettes, the junior rep sides, jumping castles, face painting, a number of other promotions, including a full canteen, Outback Steakhouse, and free admission and free social membership are available. Now, Motor Neurone Disease New South Wales, also supported by Penrith Rugby. Good on you, Jimmy. Well done in retirement. being the president of the Penrith Rugby Union Club. Big day tomorrow, their 50th anniversary celebrations. They need everyone out there at Cranbrook and Penrith to get along and support them. Good luck with the gym and good luck against Parramatta, the two Blues as well. 131873 is our open line number. It's 11 past 11. Joe, g'day.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good, Joe. What can we talk about, mate?
Mate, just in regards to the statistics that have come out around the use of ice in the community.
Yes, yes.
So I work at the Glen. We're a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre on the Central Coast. And I just wanted to say, I think it's really, really good that the media, including yourself, are reporting it. And we're all acknowledging now that in the community, there is such a widespread use of it. There's a problem. But the other thing I think is important is that we need to make sure that we focus on now getting together and having conversations around the solution. I think it's great that we're going to support people like the police and the ambulance workers that were on the front line dealing with it on a daily basis. But I need to express a little concern in regards to we come from a treatment facility. We need to make sure people like us are also part of that discussion.
Sure. And also, well, Jimmy, Joe, I should say, this is the first